We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We have made it to Friday. You know, last week most people had a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off because of 4th of July. And so hopefully you made it through this week. And, you know, you've already made plans to be in the house of the Lord this weekend. Can we just set aside now time to prepare to give him our best? To give him our best. This coming week, we do have some announcements. I haven't shared too many announcements of late. But if you'd like to join us Sunday morning at 10:30, we would love to have you be there. We have some special guests. Speakers that are going to be with us tomorrow, or not tomorrow, tomorrow's Saturday, but Sunday night, they travel to various different countries. They're missionaries, and we have them once a year. They come and they minister to us greatly, and so that's going to be awesome. So that'll be Sunday night at 6:30. Also, Saturday night, tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7 p.m., we're going to be meeting at our church for prayer. One thing that has happened is that our nation has demonstrated to a large degree how desperately they need people to pray for them. So if you would like to come and be a part of that, we will be meeting at our sanctuary tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and you are more than welcome to come. Also, we've got some other meetings. Our Women of Worth are meeting Monday, July the 13th. The potluck starts at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. And so we would invite you ladies out to that. If you can't make it out to that, hopefully we'll be able to meet you at church one of these days. So we are thankful for the exciting things that God is doing in our midst. So let's get back into the Word today, and we're going to, we've been dealing with sexual immorality here for a few days, and so we're going to try and move on from that just a little bit today, and everybody said hallelujah. So then let's go back to Acts chapter 15, verse number 22, and it says, "Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, and leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell." So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. After they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So we're going to stop the reading there. So this is going to be our last day here in Acts chapter 15. We're going to move on to something else for next week. But they not only made a decision, but they communicated the decision that had been made by or to the people who most desperately needed to hear this counsel. And I want you to know that having made a decision is fine, but we need to communicate that decision as well. Now, if you read this letter carefully, and there's some things I've got highlighted, it says that there were people who went out and had troubled people with their words that had unsettled their soul. This attempt to bring back into legalism, you see, there's two tactics that the enemy will try and do. He will try and either to get you to a works-based salvation, or he will get you to a point where you believe in grace to the extent that there are no requirements on you whatsoever. And like I've said on some other programs, you know, I'm sharing this with you not to be harsh or, you know, make myself, look like, you know, the big bad wolf or anything like that. But when we get to the end of this, you're going to see this was good news. This is good news. I like it when I know where the parameters and the boundaries of life are. I really do. I was at one point in time, for most of my retail career, I was in shoes. And I really liked being in the shoe industry because it was a fixed price system. You knew what the price was. I knew what the price was. And everybody was happy there. Now, if there was a slight defect on the shoe or something, we might be able to take a dollar or two off or something like that. But for the most part, what you saw was what you got. Now, I was in another industry for a short period of time, and the prices there, you would look at the price on the sticker, and you know, I thought, because of the background, that was the price. Little did I know that was just the negotiating point. That was just the starting point. And so what happened as a result of that was I didn't do very well in that, because there were some people who were getting a good deal, some people who were not getting such a good deal. There were some salesmen, they were doing more than other salesmen as far as the lowering of the price and everything like that. And I was just completely and totally out of my comfort zone and out of my element. You see, everybody is on the same playing field when it comes to Jesus. And that is every one of us, rich, poor, white, black, male, female, young, old, it doesn't matter. We all need to ask him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. But the enemy will try and do anything he can. Listen to what the motive of these people were. It was to trouble people and cause their souls to be unsettled. You see, if my relationship with Jesus is unsettled, then I'm not going to be effective in proclaiming the good news to others in my community that need to hear that good news. If I'm disturbed, if I'm sick, if I'm infirmed, if I'm just a hot mess, then what in the world is that going to communicate? You know, one of the things that I encourage our church is, you know, try and have a smile on your face more than you don't, because we don't want to go out representing our Savior looking like we were just baptized in lemon juice. We have something, we have good news, and we have a joy to share. And so these people had gone out, and they had, with their motive or the result of their actions was that people were troubled and that they were unsettled in their souls. Now, if, you know, I just had a doctor's appointment here recently and had some lab works done. And when I went in, you know, they had the lab results, and I don't want them to fabricate those results. I want them to tell me the reality. And so All of my things came back within the zone except for one. There was one, I really couldn't even tell you what that was. It'd never been out of the zone before, but it was just barely out of the zone, like 0.1 out of the zone. And so I rejoiced that I had a good report. And so, when I proclaim a message like this, I'm like, this is good news because God gives us an opportunity to repent of this and allow him to transform us before it is too late. I've got a book that I've been reading. It's titled Change Before You Have To. Change Before You Have To. Don't wait until it's too late. And then they communicate something else. It's in verse number 24. It says, to whom we gave no such commandment. And that was, these people were operating in the name of the church. They were going out and troubling other members of the church, the newest members of the church, with their stringent requirements and obligations. And the church leadership says, we want you to know that we did not dispatch them, that we did not command them to go out. This is something that they did of their own initiative. Folks, if I can just encourage you to remain as not only recipients, but bearers of grace, so that when people do things that they do not have the authority to do. As a pastor, I have had people do things to other believers, new believers, that I had not authorized them to do, and it troubled and distressed people in their lives. And then I had to deal with both of those situations. I had to deal with the offender and the offended, and that almost never works out well. So remember to be an extender of grace, because there have been people who have done things to me that their authorities did not authorize them to do to me. And I'm sure I've probably done some things to people that were not right as well. So it says in verse number 25, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord. Okay. If you ever, I think I've told you about this. We went to a restaurant down in probably Indian Harbor Beach one time, Texas Roadhouse Grill or Roadhouse Grill or Texas Steakhouse or whatever the name of it was. And in the men's room, it said, Tex says, never argue with a fool. They may not be able to tell which one is which. And I was like, wow, that is a really interesting thing. If you ever get into a situation where somebody has got to be told they are right, then I would encourage you not to argue with them. Now, I am very comfortable in my position with the Word of God as to what it spells out. Very, very comfortable. I'm very confident in it. But here's one of the things that I have said. Don't take it wrong, but one of the things that I have said is I have counseled people through the years who were going through difficult circumstances, and yet they didn't want to hear what I was sharing with them from the Word of God. And this is what I said. You know what? It is what the Word of God says. I believe it. That's why I'm sharing it with you. I love you. I don't want you to experience the consequences and the heartache that comes with the actions that you are taking. I actually pray that I'm wrong in what the outcome that the Word of God talks about. I pray that I'm wrong in this case, that it's going to result differently for you. But unfortunately, the result that I told them would come actually came. And here's the thing. We need to realize the value of wisdom that other people in the body of Christ have. And when I'm preaching to you, I believe I'm in one accord with the Word of God. And then in verse number 28, it says that there is another element that was one accord. It says in verse number 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You see, if you just surround yourself with people who think like you, act like you, talk like you, look like you, then it's going to be relatively easy to get a consensus. But when you base your consensus not on what you think or look like or act like or speak like, but instead you base that unity, the spirit of unity, on the Holy Spirit, what the Word of God says, and aligning yourself with that, then it's going to be easy to get a godly spirit of unity. Now, if you think back to the day of Pentecost, they were in one place and in one accord. I'm telling you, when the body of Christ comes together in the spirit of unity, powerful things begin to take place. Powerful things begin to take place. If you give greater credence to what society is dictating rather than what the Word of God is dictating, you're going to be very unsettled. Because there are a lot of people who are trying to change the Word of God. My son sent me a text message, I forget, and he says, "Can you believe this new Bible that is coming out?" And he began to describe what people were abusing the Word of God to say at that point in time. There are people who will twist and abuse the Word of God in order to get it to say what they want it to say. I've told you about the manner in which I study the Bible. I go through the Old Testament, then I go through the New Testament twice, then back into the Old Testament, then back into the New Testament twice, and that's all in 1 year. In all of those readings and all of my studies, I don't go to the Word of God to say, "I wonder which scripture I can find that is going to validate my point." But instead, I go to the Word of God. Like if I was doing a Bible study on forgiveness, I would type up I would do a search on forgiveness, forgiven, unforgiveness, unforgivable. I would type all of those out, get all of the verses that deal with the issue, and then I would just start going through it and say, okay, what does the Word of God say about this? In fact, one of the very first seasons of broadcast that I did was in the Christmas season, and it had to do with the preparation aspect of God. I was doing that for the radio program. What happened was it became a transformational subject for me. I realized that I needed to do a much better job of preparing for future fulfillment of things that God had promised. That if God was that much concerned about detail, about furniture and things of that, how concerned is he about preparing the issues in my life? So it says, verse number 28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Okay? God is not burdening us down with the responsibilities of the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. But there are, listen, it is our belief that the Word of God is the inspired, God-breathed Word of God. That when these people wrote the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit was moving them to write the Word of God. And so here it says that the responsibilities that we have, they're not to be a burden. They are there to guide us in the path of righteousness. Jesus said that the path to destruction is a broad path and there's a lot of people on it. But he also said that there's a narrow way that leads to life and few there are that find it. Does anybody remember going to an amusement park when you were a kid and you didn't know how to drive and they put you in these cars and the cars would only go so fast and they'd have somebody else in there to teach you to drive? And right down the center of it was a metal rail that was designed to keep you going. Even when you couldn't steer, it would keep you going in the right direction. Well, that's what the Word of God does. Now, thankfully, I don't encounter too many people on the roads that are bobbing and weaving the way that people, you know, those little kids did on that amusement park track. But I do see a lot of people, you know, who have no comprehension of how to steer their life spiritually whatsoever. And so the apostles wrote to them and said, we need to let you know that there are these things. These are necessary. We've already talked about them. Let me repeat them to you again. Abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. He said, you know, these are the things that are necessary. We've written them down. We've sent somebody, these two guys, to acknowledge to you that what is written is what we have sent. They're going to say publicly what we have said in written form. That's what my privilege is. My privilege is to share with you publicly, verbally, the things that God's word indicates. Again, this was to spur these new believers on to growth. Now, listen to this, verse number 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. They rejoiced over its encouragement. You can tell where people's heart is in relation to a subject by how they respond to it. And when they heard what these requirements are, when they said, stay away from idols, they rejoiced. When they said, stay away from blood, they rejoiced. When they said, stay away from things strangled, they rejoiced. And these new believers, when they were instructed by the apostles and by the church leadership to stay away and avoid, to flee from and abstain from sexual immorality, they didn't say, well, what kind of new religion is this that I've joined? They weren't offended by it. They actually rejoiced in it. See, I have said to our congregation at times, you can tell how intense a hold something has on you by how much you struggle to retain that thing. You see, the question is, are you able to control it, or does it control you? An addiction has control of you. And so here they were talking about, they were talking to these new believers, and they said, these are necessary. You need to avoid these things. And when the church heard what they were to avoid, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. And then this is what the mindset that they had. They realized that the letter that had been sent was an encouragement instead of a restriction. An encouragement instead of a restriction. If I can, let me take you back up to verse number 21. It said, for Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. And so there was a presence of the word of God in society. It may not have reached everybody in the culture, but it resonated. It began to prepare the atmosphere and the spirit of that town for the fulfillment of everything that Moses was pointing to in the reality of Jesus. And so when the ministry of Jesus Christ was presented to these people through the disciples and apostles, through Paul and through Barnabas, they began to get saved because of the seeds that had been sown. And it says here, for many generations. Would you mind if I just take a moment and preach to myself? Because it was about a week or so ago, I heard something, and it wasn't anything I heard in my church or anything like that. Just something that I heard, and it was like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me, you know, that after 22 and a half years of being the pastor, this is the level that we're at. I'm being very transparent here with you now. And, you know, and yet there's these other things that are coming in, and boom, they're just multitudes and multitudes of people. I said, what's wrong with me? And I was discussing that with my wife, and my wife said, honey, our responsibility is our responsibility and their responsibility is theirs. Said, we know what we're called to. And you know what we are? We are people who come and have come in and repaired. We are also people who sow. And there is a harvest. And I do believe in the Lord of the harvest. And I do believe that when you sow seeds, that you're not just going to get a seed back for the seed that you sow, but instead that it comes back 30, 60, and 100-fold. And whether I have to sow the message for one generation or two generations or two decades or three decades or four decades, I believe at some point in time, the seed of the Word of God is going to come to fruition and a community is going to come to know Jesus Christ in a supernatural revival. That's what I'm believing for. There are prophetic words that have been spoken over our congregation, and I'm thankful for those prophetic words. I'm talking about words that go back two decades. And so I continue to work and I continue to believe and I continue to look for those prophecies to come to pass. And so I look back and say, okay, God, these are the words, this word is going forth and it's going to bear fruit. It is going to bear fruit. So I want to ask you today, let me point out one more thing. Verse number 33. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. There was a message of encouragement. Judas and Silas themselves were being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren. Okay? So when this problem that we started talking about of Cornelius and his household getting saved and it resulting in a church council and then other believers getting saved and they revisiting the topic, what it did was it encouraged the brethren because it gave them a guide to live by. It also presented the opportunity for people who were gifted by the Holy Spirit to function in those gifts. And what a result for the body was they were taught and they were strengthened. You see, the Word of God will always make you stronger. Sin will always make you weaker. People perish because of the things that they don't know. But when they do know them, they're exhorted, they're taught, and they're strengthened. And today, I pray that this topic from Acts 10, 11, and 15, I pray it's been an encouragement to you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your guidelines and your great love for us. I pray, God, that you would bless the people who listen to this broadcast. And Lord, that it would make a difference in their day-to-day life, in their relationships with you, their relationships at home, and their relationships in this community. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming.
Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you.